Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Mahomes has the time, delivers perfectly downfield, touchdown! Patrick Mahomes with a rope.
This one, Adams, touchdown! This time going deep for Beckham Jr.
Hello, and welcome back to RotoViz Overtime on RotoViz Radio, brought to you by Blue Wire. My name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. My co-host, as always, is Sean Siegel, the co-owner over at RotoViz and the co-host of the Stealing Bananas podcast. Sean, we have to start the show today in a very disappointed fashion for yourself. Commiserations that it looks like Aaron Rodgers is going to return to the Green Bay Packers this season rather than the Denver Broncos.
It does look that way. So that is unfortunate for all of those Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, Noah Fant shares. At the same time, big news for our team that we drafted with Blair Andrews just last week. We went ahead and took the risk, selected Davante Adams at the 1-2 turn, selected Aaron Rodgers at the 8-9 turn. So we now have that combo at a great price. I think Davante Adams with Rodgers in tow should be a top six pick in almost all formats this fall. Aaron Rodgers, not quite as much of a lock at QB. He is going to have a lot of work to do to replicate the season he had in 2020. And we also know that there could be a little bit of a hard feeling between him and some of the team, although he's had great support from his receivers throughout this ordeal. Colm, how excited are you to have the Green Bay Packers back in contention for the 2021 Super Bowl?
I'm relieved more than anything. This has been going on for, it seems like, years. It's been going on about 3 months. So I'm just glad it's over. And my hope has always been, and I know you'll disagree with this, was moving for what you can get now, obviously, to get the value. But I think the opportunity to win a Super Bowl is something that's too good to pass up. And I think they have a shot at it this year. So if they can get to a situation where they get everything going this season and then they review it next year, and if they do move him, they move him at that time or give him some part of a decision in the process. But I'm relieved. And I have no doubt this is going to rumble on for another while yet. There's going to be reports. There's going to be riffs. There's going to be a lot of stuff until we get it all cleared up, probably until the season starts. So we'll see what happens. Then once the season starts, it's going to be like what happens after the season. The media will spin that way. But yeah, I'm relieved. I've tried not to think too much about it over the last couple of months, but I think it's going to bode well for this team. I think it bodes well for NFL fans. But I guess if he played somewhere else, it would still bode well. The part that there was a fear of is if he retired, I think we'd have been missing out on, you know, 4 to 5 years of, I would say Patrick Mahomes, probably the most talented quarterback to play in the NFL of all time. So I don't know if you go that far, Sean, but I'm just glad that we're going to see him play this season. But really, Adams is a big winner here, as are guys like Aaron Jones and even some of the preliminary kind of receivers. But I think more so than those, I think Robert Tonyan, who had a breakout season last year, probably is in a much better spot. But yeah, I think Adams is an absolute smash spot now. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this team develops. If we can get a situation where Jonathan Taylor stays healthy throughout the season, we could be into a really nice position with this team.
Exactly. And you mentioned some of the players who will benefit. I think it goes all the way down the roster. AJ Dillon is someone we've talked about a lot on this show. Ben has raved about on Stealing Bananas. I really wouldn't want him unless they have Aaron Rodgers. But I think that with Rodgers, they're going to deliver this team to the goal line over and over. I think Dillon has now a double-digit touchdown upside as a pick in that 9-10 round area. So obviously he's a home run. And then you look at a guy that we have taken late in a couple of leagues in Marquez Valdes-Scantling. He now has this potential to be a double-digit touchdown scorer from the very late rounds, as we used to see from the Packers receivers in the old days with Aaron Rodgers there. So definitely a huge boost to that team. You still hear some things about them sort of paving the way for him to now go somewhere else next season. The Broncos probably still in the mix there. They'll have a chance to look at Drew Lock, look at Teddy Bridgewater, realize that they need a real quarterback, try and get that Peyton Manning late season or late career bump, get him another Super Bowl. Obviously, it would be horrible for the Green Bay Packers if he leaves and wins a Super Bowl somewhere else. It probably seems strange for me as someone who grew up in Kansas City, huge Chiefs fan, huge Mahomes fan, to be asking for the Broncos, the Raiders, the Chargers to be a little bit better. But these AFC West matchups could be a lot of fun if we had some emerging teams. Now you have Justin Herbert there with the Chargers. If you had Rodgers with the weapons the Broncos have. Some other kind of strange news we've had this week. Deshaun Watson, at least for the moment, and I think this is going to be just a matter of days, is theoretically in camp and eligible. There appear to be some agent-driven reports that teams still want to trade for him, that the Denver Broncos is his preferred location. Again, Watson would be a situation where that would really boost the prospects of all of those guys. I don't expect that to happen because I don't expect Watson to be playing this season and probably even in subsequent seasons, but still some interesting quarterback news there. Colin, we did the shows on this draft. We're not going to inundate listeners with a ton more information about that, but I did have an article this week looking at the back 10 rounds and how these are the key rounds to build your team and not make some key mistakes to sort of invalidate everything you've done to that point, right? When we go back through and we look at drafts after the fact, there are usually four or five teams that really stand out as having an elevated chance to win. Now, that doesn't mean that anybody couldn't win. If you hit on enough players who have monster seasons, even if the structure is horrible, you know, you can still come through and win that. You know, teams that have a 5% win rate in the roster construction explorer, I mean, those teams are still winning 1/20th of the time, which means they do win. But when we're looking at teams that have the better chances, some of the things that we obviously look for would be the Christian McCaffrey team, the Travis Kelce team. If they then subsequently go through and make good selections, then, you know, they have a pretty big leg up. The same thing is true for the zero running back teams. If you pick receivers and an elite tight end in those first five or six rounds, then you've got a great start. Of course, you can ruin it then with your build the rest of the way. So I looked at three things that we really want to do late. Number one is to maximize the value in the roster spots from your QB tight end strategy. Number two is to take calculated as opposed to wild risks. And you want those risks to kind of point in the same direction, right? And then we want to create balance at running back and wide receiver, and we want to do so in the correct rounds. So anyone who's interested in that, go in and check it out. We talked a little bit about the QB tight end approach, where you need to draft these guys in order to make the biggest impact. Number two, taking the calculated risks. We did that a little bit with both Jonathan Taylor and with this Rodgers-Adams pairing. Those things kind of point in the same direction. Then we selected Javonte Williams, who allows us to have that rookie breakout. The most value from him will come right at the time that we need it, right? Week 14 when Taylor has that bye. But then we also took a lot of late running backs, and that kind of fits into the third point. Create balance at running back and wide receiver in a way that makes sense. Do it in the correct rounds. And so you've got to go through, you've got to get those wide receivers. We didn't get fantastic options at receiver, but in the second half of the draft, we select Jarvis Landry, Elijah Moore, Rondale Moore. We get those guys in there. We get up to where we have five receivers and only two running backs. And then we're able to come back through, get these five running backs in a row, David Johnson, Devin Singletary, Gio Bernard, Rashad Penny, and Hubbard. And so then we have this group where we can cover both Williams early and Taylor late and we do it after we have our wide receivers, we get to where we have the 7-7 balance when we take Hamler and Brown at the very end of the draft. It can seem like an overemphasis on structure when we're talking about how we need to progress through the draft. One of the things that Ben and I talked about some on Stealing Bananas was this idea of, you know, you can depart from structure at different points as long as you're doing it in a very intentional fashion and you're getting back in. But Colm, how important do you think this was in the back half of our draft that we made some conscious decisions to complement what we had done early on?
Yeah, and particularly if you, you know, for the listeners, if you haven't heard the, we broke it into four parts, but if you haven't heard the draft, you'll hear that conversation between myself, Sean, and Blair as we go through it. But I think it was very important. I think it's very important to strike that balance. You know, obviously when you're going the zero RB approach, you might have went and tried to get some more of those running backs in those late rounds. But I think the way we did it, we spotted the points where we have the option for Penny and Hubbard and Bernard, and we attacked them there. Because the wide receivers at that exact point are not the guys that we're really looking to get. And then that gives us an option to get, you know, Hamler and Moore and Brown and set that team up then a lot more balanced. The thing I really like what you mentioned is we have Taylor, and the fear with Taylor in this format is the week 14 bye. Well, with that week 14 bye, you're going to have him for those other 13 weeks. And maybe it does take 4 to 6 weeks for Javonte Williams to break out to be the workhorse in that Denver backfield. And in that time, we have those other options to be able to work us through to that point. So I think the balance all around, similar to we have some rookie wide receivers there that we're going to want to maybe work into shape, but we have that balance throughout the team. The one thing looking at this team, Sean, now there's two things that stand out for me is if Mark Andrews and Noah Fant hit this year, this team is pretty much on rocket fuel in terms of where it's going to be, because again, that's going to potentially fill two of those flexes, if we can have those two guys hit in a PPR premium format for tight end. But the one question I would have is we're still going to need two quarterbacks, but because we had uncertainty around Rodgers, if we know what we know now, would we have taking Rodgers and Burrow back to back, or would we have went in a different direction? I'm still very pleased with how it went. I think we're locked in at tight end, we're locked in at quarterback, and we have, you know, Jonathan Taylor, who we both love, and then we have Davante Adams, who probably should have went a half round earlier than he did in this draft, and probably similar with Taylor. So we're in a really solid spot there.
Hey, RotoViz Radio listener, this is Curtis Patrick from the Dynasty Command Center podcast, and I've got a special deal for you today. Go to rotoviz.com, click the subscribe button, put the 12-month subscription in your cart, and use promo code RVRadio2021. That's RVRadio2021, and you're going to save 10%. Taking advantage of this deal, getting your hands on what's included in the package is the best way to enhance your performance this year. So go to rotoviz.com and subscribe now.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Colin, we have a listener question about the same idea of what to do from the 12 spot if Diggs and Hill are gone. Set that up for us.
So we had a question, Sean, as you mentioned there, coming from a listener. It's from Mark Schorenagel. Mark, I hope I got that surname correct there for you. In terms of the question itself, it came in, you hinted at it, for the 12th spot, 12-team redraft, PPR, tight end premium, one quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, one running back slash wide receiver flex, one wide receiver, running back, or tight end flex are the starting requirements. So just as the one quarterback position. So very, very similar to what we're looking at over at the FFPC. And then he's saying, assuming Diggs and Hill are gone, is it crazy to take AJ Brown and Justin Jefferson as his first two picks at the back end of that first round? They're both high on Sean and Blair's redraft rankings, as if they should be first round picks. But I never hear Jefferson discussed as a potential pick in those recent drafts you guys have done from those late spots. And Brown now has Julio on his team. We've talked about that a little bit. And then, am I taking too much risk by selecting both, given their team history of wanting to run the ball a lot? Also, if Waller falls to 112, is he a no-brainer selection there? So my first part, Mark, on this one is Waller should not be falling to the 112 and tight end premium under any circumstances. But if he falls there, he is absolutely a no-brainer. Sean, I wouldn't expect Waller to be there. So I think we're looking towards the receiving options at the back of the round.
Right. And we're seeing Waller go in the middle of the first round most of the time, but different leagues do have slightly different dynamics. And even with the news now, with Saquon Barkley really looking like he's going to miss some time, hopefully not the entire first 6 weeks of the season, he may fall, but in many leagues, he still may be drafted fairly early. If you're not in a best ball league, Barkley's late season value is so extreme that I think you can still take him fairly early. Jonathan Taylor is going to be taken earlier in drafts where week 14 is not such a big deal. That would push Waller down. So there's a chance that he could fall, especially now that Devontae Adams should also go in the first round and push some guys down. But I think if we're looking at a receiver start from 12, which in most cases you should be, then it does get a little bit trickier if Diggs, Hill, and Adams are all gone, which to a certain extent I think is unlikely, but definitely is possible. I think we want to start Adams, Hopkins, or Adams, Ridley if he's there. If he's not there, then Colin, where are we looking on some of these guys? Now, DeAndre Hopkins has generated some pretty negative news with his vaccine skepticism. That could end up causing a problem. We're seeing coaches fired. We're seeing, you know, these big jumps in infection. We've got the NFL sort of cracking down with the idea that teams that have unvaccinated players get sick are, you know, going to forfeit. And so that makes Hopkins a little bit riskier, but he's still a guy who, you know, if you take that out of the equation, should also be going at that 1-2 turn, right? An Adams Hopkins start is just a dream team, I think. If Hopkins is off your list, if Adams goes in round one, where are you looking from that point? Calvin Ridley gets pretty exciting there. DK Metcalf is going in that range. Then we have Justin Jefferson, AJ Brown. I think that Jefferson and Brown are justifiable picks in that range, but I would probably be looking to get them late. In some of the recent drafts that we've done, you know, they're going actually at the top of round three. And so you're potentially giving up quite a bit of value taking a 1-2. But one of the things we talk about all the time, one of the tricky parts about being in the 12 is that, you know, you don't get those guys coming back to the 3-4. So if you want them, you have to go ahead and pick them. If they're that good, then you still win your league, right? It doesn't matter how good of an ADP value they are. It matters how many points they score. So who are you looking at in that range, Colin? Is Ridley the clear-cut guy?
Yeah, before I answer the question, the one thing I always remember from last year that you were talking about one of the FFPC main event teams, I think it was a team with Blair, but people were saying, like, you know, should it take a running back in there, or should it take Alvin Kamara in the first round? You're saying Alvin Kamara doesn't last to 12. So it's a bit like that. If you want these guys, you're going to have to draft them at that point. They're not getting back to you at the end of the third round. I think Tyreek is usually gone at that point. He's gone before we get to the 112. Diggs is sometimes there. And I think if you compare any off Diggs, Adams, Hopkins, and Ridley together, I think that's the way to go. I wouldn't expect all of those guys to be gone. But as you mentioned with the news with Hopkins, I'm still very positive on Hopkins going into the season, but I'm very close at times alternating, and I tend to go with Ridley over Hopkins. So I would be looking that way. If it was a case that, you know, Hopkins and Ridley are there, I would be leaning towards Calvin Ridley. You mentioned AJ Brown and Justin Jefferson. I have no, there's players, you know, sometimes I think those guys shouldn't be going 8 picks earlier, but those two guys aren't two guys that I have a problem with. At the end of the season, I think we could see situations where the two of those guys are actually the wide receiver one, wide receiver two. So if they are guys you like, if you like the metrics are pointing in their direction, I have no problem taking those. But I still would be going with you know, Hill, Diggs, Adams, and then Ridley as my four. And I would expect two of those four to be there at team 12.
Colin, we're going to have a different choice in the current league that we're drafting in. Sort of unusual for how the season has gone for us so far, where we have been toward the end a bunch. The first listener leagues, the RVOT leagues, are going. We have one up and running, just started today. It looks like we cheated and set this up for the host to win. But through the FFPC, we did get the 101. We did select Christian McCaffrey. Where are we going to go from here?
Yeah, and I did mention in the league chat that you know, it was it's random. I'll actually hold my. This is the first time I've had the 101 this entire offseason, so let's see how it plays out. But I think it's fair to say nobody believes, Sean, that this was random, even though it was. So it's gone Christian McCaffrey in the next pick so far. It's a 6-hour slow draft, so it will take a bit of time, but we will update you as the times go on. But Travis Kelce went at the 102. It's going to be tricky here, Sean, because we're going to be drafting against guys who are listening into the show. So depending on what we say on this show, maybe these players don't get back to us. But it's basically the absolute reverse of what we were touching on a moment ago. And that means that the guys that we were talking about there going in that range, you know, the Justin Jeffersons, the AJ Browns, I think that they may get back to us. But I'm also thinking that because it's going to be the road of his OT listeners, that maybe all the wide receivers are gone by the 112. we might get a heavy volume of drafting wide receivers here. But ideally, I would be aiming to get those two guys that we mentioned in Jefferson and AJ Brown. DK Metcalf would be in the mix for me. They're kind of the guys. I know you've been talking a little bit about Clyde Edwards-Helaire as well. So, you know, could we flip things up and go running back to start here? But I think I'd be ideal scenario would be Jefferson and AJ Brown. Where are you looking?
I think that would also be ideal. And if Edwards-Helaire lasts to that point, that would be an interesting start. We know we can go extremely wide receiver heavy from that point. I doubt that he makes it. I think that it's likely in our league, especially considering what we've discussed with him, and we're going to have him as a focal point on the next show. I think that he may go ahead of Joe Mixon, may go ahead of Harris. That's something that Davis Maddock mentioned on the Stealing Bananas draft show, that he should be going earlier than the rookie. So I don't think that he'll make it. I do think that we may have some kind of crazy choices in potentially Nick Chubb staring at us there. I think we probably would still pass on him at that point. Aaron Jones and what happens with him with Rodgers now looking to be on board will be interesting. DeAndre Swift is also kind of an interesting draft pick in that range if it goes very, very, very wide receiver heavy. But one of the things we talk about is that you don't want to get yourself caught in a situation where you think, okay, well, the draft was more wide receiver heavy than I thought, so I'm going to go ahead and pivot and take running backs. And then very quickly you get to a point where, like, well, all of the wide receivers are wiped out, right? I mean, one of the things about a running back early drafting is that only works when running backs are drafted above where they should be. But wide receiver heavy drafting always works, right? And it becomes even more imperative if the draft becomes wide receiver heavy. So instead of pivoting to running backs, you have to make sure that you're taking those wide receivers. So I would think that McLaurin, who is somebody you are always wanting to get, and we tend to barely miss, or at least we have so far this offseason, and CeeDee Lamb, those are guys who go in the middle to kind of the edge of the back third of round three. I would think those guys are probably going to be options at the 2-3 turn if the draft is as wide receiver heavy as we think it may be.
Yeah, and there are two guys I'd be happy to make that, you know, I guess some people call it a reach, but you know, 5-6 picks early for both of those guys. I think they're in premium spots this year. The other player that I tend to not be drafting just because of the guys that we've mentioned is Keenan Allen, who I think is interesting, but I think I would bypass there for McLaurin or Lamb. They're going kind of back-to-back-to-back there in those picks. So it's going to be interesting, Sean. I'm looking forward to drafting with the listeners, and I've already put out the feelers in case some of those guys want to jump into a second league over the next couple of weeks, because we have had a number of people reach out to fill more leagues. So I'm going to keep seeing what we can do to get as many listeners involved as we can. So if you are interested and you missed out on that first league, send an email my way, rotovizradio@gmail.com. You can send it to overtimeireland@gmail.com if you want as well, or send it my way on Twitter, and that is @OvertimeIreland. That's going to bring us to the end of today's show. As always, you can get yourself a 10% discount to a RotoViz NFL pass by adding the code RVRadio2021 at checkout. Going to rotoviz.com/podcast for further information. We will be back, and we're planning to drop 4 shows this week for you. We're trying to keep that content coming, so do check the feed each day to see what shows have popped up for you. But we will be back very shortly with another podcast. So until we're back with another one, my name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter @OvertimeIreland. My co-host is Sean Siegel. Check out the piece we talked about today, along with Sean's other great work, up on rotoviz.com. And until then, have a good one. Thank you for listening to Overtime on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @RotoVizRadio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz with a discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.